God. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 17 this morning. Matthew and chapter number 17. There is something that I am concerned about, not just in our church, but as I have traveled about and been in other churches, something that I am concerned about within other Christians. We have, as believers and Christians, we have let something slip away from us. We have let something go away from us, and some people think it is something bad, but it is something that is needed, and that is separation. Separation is a serious thing, and it must still be in the church and the people of God. What has happened is, in the many places that we go, what we have seen is that the world has encroached, the world has made its way into the things of God, and what that has done has lessened the power of God. It has lessened the power that is within the church. And what I see now is the problem of not being separated. What we're trying to do is we're trying to hold on to the world in one hand and hold on to Jesus in the other hand. The Bible clearly teaches and demonstrates to us that there should be and is a separation. There is a difference between a lost man and a saved man. And how the Holy Ghost of God speaks to you specifically and demonstrates to you how you are to be different than the world is. I'm going to preach a message this morning that I would consider to be heavy. It is something that is real, and we need to realize how real it is. What has happened today? Where has the separation of a mouth gone? Where we no longer say the things that the world says, use the same terminology or the world's words. Where has separation gone? We should not speak as the world speaks. Where has the separation of alcohol gone? Where has the separation of not being drunk with wine gone? Where has the separation of having a sober mind gone? Where has that separation gone to? Where has the separation of immodesty gone? Not just for women, for men as well. I see more and more people inclined to show their body today, and many of these people are born-again believers. Where has the separation gone? Where is it today? I fear that we are touching on things and fooling with things that we should not be fooling with. We have talked about, and maybe you've heard preachers talk about revival. Let me say this. There will not be a revival unless there is power. And there will not be a power upon us unless we are obedient to God. We must be obedient to God. I'm going to show you something today, and it may be hard, but it is the absolute truth. Let's look at Matthew 17, verse number 14. Matthew 17 and verse number 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed, and it departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, needing you to speak. I pray, Heavenly Father, as I have prayed for several weeks now, God, that You would touch us. Lord, that You would help us. Lord, that we could see the serious need, God, within this hour. Lord, I pray, affect us, Lord. Affect us. May the Holy Ghost of God have free rein to hear today. I pray, God, that You would cast out any darkness, cast out any evil, God, that would bind us and hold us back. Speak to every heart in the house, Lord, please. God, do a work that only You can do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When we look at this story, certainly we should be moved for this family. Here is a child. If you look it up in Luke chapter number 9, that's what it describes him as. It says child. We can see in the Word of God and find that this young boy was possessed of a devil. He was possessed what is considered to be a fallen angel. This is a serious thing. And if you do not believe that this happens today, you are sadly wrong. The devil is still real. Satan is still real. And people are still possessed to this day. There are people that are overtaken by the devil. We see here in the text that this child, certainly we should have a heart for a child. This child is going through life. It says it's always been this way with him. Notice what the devil was trying to do. It was trying to destroy this child. It was trying to destroy this being, this body, so that his soul would go on away. He was trying to hurt this child. The Bible says he often falleth into the fire and often into the water. The devil inside of him was trying to ruin this child's life and the family. Now praise God, they came to the right person. They came to Jesus. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter number 9. We see the account again, the same account, the same exact account, but I want you to look at the wording of it. Mark 9 and verse number 20. Mark 9 verse 20. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto me? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it have cast him in the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and he came out of him, and he was as one dead. This is the child. Insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. The difference in all of this, you need to understand and see. There are two things that we need to know. There is what we consider to be the physical world, and then there is a spiritual world. There's a spiritual world that most of us don't think about. There's a spiritual world that we sometimes do not consider. But there is a real spiritual world. It has angels and it has fallen angels in it. It has Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, and it has Satan in it. And I today, this morning, want to speak more about the spirit world of evil. The spirit world of evil. Listen to what it says in Matthew 25, verse 41. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. James 2, 19 says this, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They tremble at God. They tremble at Jesus. If you look in the context here, Jesus told this spirit to be quiet. He says, you dumb spirit. He says, you be quiet. Don't you say anything. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we find that he didn't want it to be flooded totally out, that what all that he could do and the power that he had. But here he helps this young child. I say again to you, people can be possessed. I say again to you, the devil is real, and so are fallen angels that are devils. I want you to understand something. It is real, and it is real, and it is real, and we should have fear concerning it. And we should not be foolish and fool around with these kind of things. Evilness. Notice it says unclean spirit or an evil spirit is what had taken place. I have some questions about this, specifically of this child and this family. How did it take place? What brought it on? Did the family dabble in evil, the evil spirit world? What did they do to hurt their own child with the devil? Did they allow something in their home that brought about this evil in their own child? I see the father was seriously troubled, was he not? He fell down before Jesus. He pleaded with Jesus. He said, I believe for the sake of my child, but I have unbelief and not sure how you're going to do it. I want to say to you this morning that notice the demon, all he wanted to do was destroy. Remember what the Bible teaches us, what Jesus said about Satan. He says that he is, that's all he wants to do. He said he's a murderer, he's a liar, he wants to destroy, and he wants to take away. That's all he wants to do, and that's all they want to do. Let me give you some terms this morning. Let me give you some terminology this morning, and then I have some serious questions to ask you. And you can answer them how you feel you should answer them, or think on them as the days go by. Here are these terms: vampires, witches, ghouls, werewolves, banshees, walking dead, undead, zombies, goblins, mummies, wizards, monsters, warlocks, dragons, and on we can have in a list. What do these words and figures envision in your mind? When I read those to you, what do they envision? What envision is mine? Should this be something that a believer of Jesus Christ is involved in? Should we, who have life and have it more abundantly, be connected with this darkness and death? Should we, who are spiritually connected to God and have a part in God, have a part in these things? Should we, who are of the greatest light, the goodness and purity and holiness of God, should we ever lower ourselves to darkness? Should we, who are alive, be flirting with items that are cryptic? Death. Should we, who live in the love of God, should we, who live in the love of God, debase ourselves in dark things? Should we do that? The spirit world of evil is a real place, and we should not fool with it. We should not mess with it. First of all, let me say this. As a preacher of the gospel and a preacher of the whole word of God, I must preach against sin and its damaging result. And this morning is a warning. If I had two red flags to wave this morning, if I had some flashing caution lights to blink this morning, I would have it. I want you to understand the seriousness of it. Number one, the seriousness of it. Mark chapter number one. Look here in Mark chapter number one. The spirit world of evil, it still exists. It's still here. And we as born-again believers should not touch it, dabble in it, or be foolish with it. Mark chapter 1, verse number 23. Notice what it says. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? See, they believe. Art thou come to destroy us? They know they're going to be judged. I know thee who art, thou art the Holy One of God. He just said, you're God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, so now we've seen this several times, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter number 5. We see that they were in the synagogue, a place of worship, a place dedicated for God. And here comes a man with an unclean spirit. Unfortunately, the house of God doesn't provide some sort of protection from this. You need to know that evil lurks about everywhere. This is not some foolishness of a movie where you hold up a cross and it wards it away. It is only by the power of Jesus Christ, and we need to see the seriousness of it. Mark 5, verse 1. Mark 5 and verse number 1. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. See, even they don't want to be tormented. Notice in verse 8, For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? He answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. I want you to see that this isn't one devil. This isn't two devils, three, and so forth and so on. This is multiple fallen angels, multiple devils trying to destroy a man, trying to destroy a town through this man. And we see that the evil that is in him, praise God, Jesus had power over it, hallelujah. But we said, he said, I am legion, for we are many. This is a serious subject, the spirit world of evil. Look at verse number 15. And they come to Jesus, seeing him that was possessed, with the devil. He had the legion sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I want you to turn to Acts chapter number 19. I want you to see the seriousness of it. Acts chapter number 19. Acts 19, if we could, look here. Acts 19 and verse number 13. Acts 19 and verse number 13. The spirit world of evil is a real place. It is something that we shouldn't dabble in. It is something that we shouldn't be touching. It is something that we should know how serious it is. Acts 19, verse number 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons, one of Sceva, and a Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did so. Excuse me. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them. Notice how it gives us three different things. He says he leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. He tore them up. He tore their clothes up. Verse 17, this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. I want you to see, this is nothing to fool with. This is nothing to fool with and play with. We see that this devil, this demon, he's powerful. It is unbelievable. And what is going on here? Here's the thing. These people, these so-called believers, these so-called followers, these so-called doers in Jesus, he said, the devils that were in them said, we don't know who you are. We heard of Jesus, and we even heard of Paul. Let me tell you something. I want to live my life. I want to live my life separated and away from the things of evil and darkness so that the devils know my name. I want them to say, I've heard of Jesus, I've heard of Paul, and I've heard of Russell. Amen. I don't want them jumping on me, amen, tearing my clothes off and wounding me, amen. I'm saying that it's real this morning, and there's a seriousness to it. I know I don't usually do this, but I have subpoints this morning. Under seriousness, we should not have any inquiries into this. We should not have any connection into the evil world. Listen to me carefully. By books, by movies, or by music. Years and years ago, I used to listen to some rotten, terrible music. I listened to some horrible stuff. and it was head banging, and it was all different kind of genres that you can talk about. Let me tell you something. I'm not talking about foolishness and craziness and all the stuff that people say out there. But when you there is promotion of death, there is promotion of evil, when there is promotion of vile things, you should not listen to it, because you don't know what spirit it is of. You have no concept what is in it. If it is, I read a lot. I've told y'all. I read somewhere around 40 books a year. And I read fictional stuff. I read novels. But if I'm starting to read something and I feel weird, strange, or odd about it, I put it away. I do not read it. I do not want to be involved in it. If I'm watching something on television and I think this is sadistic, this is evil, I will not watch it. I'm telling you, you have to be careful. Books, movies, and music. Listen to me now. This is the groups that I used to listen to. Poison. Megadeth. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Slaughter. These are names of groups. All right? These are things that we should not be involved in. And some of them, and I'm going to get to that in a little bit, can appear to be good, but they are of evil spirits. Books, movies, and music. Be careful. How can you sit down and watch a horror movie? How can you do that? When it's talking about death, and it's talking about evil, and it's talking about darkness, how can you sit there and watch that? How can you sit there and watch anything that has to do with mutilation and vile murder? How can you take that in? Listen to me carefully. You bring those things into your home, you better look out. I have a good friend of mine in Scottsville, Virginia. Him and I work together every single day. His wife was seeking spiritual things. She had a book, and in this book she was reading, and I'm not going to tell you the title of it. She was reading this book, and man, I'm going to tell you what, she was reading it. As she went through the book, it talked about praying to the spirits. Are you listening to me? There's only one spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. Everybody, I mean, there's more spirits, but capital S, one spirit. As she prayed about it, she had a dream that night of the number 45 flashing and fire. That was her dream. The next morning, as usual, they got up preparing and going to work. They had a little tiny baby at the time. My coworker put a bottle of milk in the microwave, closed the microwave, did his little numbers, stepped away from it. All of a sudden, they heard this crazy noise. They looked at the microwave, and inside of it was a ball of fire. He grabbed the baking soda, ran over to the microwave, opened the microwave, and the fire was gone, and it was just a bottle of milk sitting there. Then she started screaming and said, "Look at the number, look at the number." And it was the number 45 flashing. I'm telling you, this came from my friend who worked with me. I'm not trying to tell you crazy stories. This is reality. You need to stay away from this kind of stuff. We should not, in the seriousness of it, make no inquiries. In the seriousness of it, do not invoke it into your home. Be careful of decorations. Be careful of symbols that you have no concept what they are. Be careful of pictures of evil in your home that you don't know if they are or not. A good friend of mine named David Fletcher, he's a preacher out there in Missouri. When he was a young boy, a preacher came and preached a message similar as I'm preaching and said, there could be things in your house that are evil. He said, one of the best things you can do is go to your children and ask them, does anything in this house bother you? When they got home, they sat down, they held hands, they had prayer time, and the father said, is anything in this home bother you? David Fletcher, crying with tears in his eyes, he was only 7 years old. He said, Daddy, we have a Native American statue that bothers me. He said, it scares me. He said, I don't want to be around it. And they took that statue out of the home. The father went to some Native Americans. He went to them, brought the statue before him. He said, what is this statue? They said, this statue is of a witch doctor. It's of a man doing a dance, and he's trying to call up the dead. You understand? We got to be careful in what we bring into our homes. These are true things I'm giving you. Number two this morning, the seriousness of it, but the subtlety of the devil. Genesis 3:1 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any. The subtlety of it. Under subtlety, let's not be ignorant. There's two kinds of ignorance. There are those that do not know, and then you can tell them. They say, man, I didn't know that. But then there are those that are willfully ignorant. willfully ignorant. Ephesians chapter number 6. Turn there with me quickly. Ephesians chapter number 6. This is serious this morning. It's real this morning. Ephesians 6 and verse number 12. You know it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're fighting with. That's what is troubling us. That's why sometimes in our lives where everything's going good and then all of a sudden we are angry or irritable or frustrated, it is evil that is affecting us. It can be in a person. It can be in music. It can be in something that is bringing into your life. A man in church, a man in our church, the church that I went to, a man in our church stood out in the lawn of the church, got so mad with the pastor that he turned into something that was totally different. He was a little tiny fella. I'm not going to tell you his name. I'm going to tell you. My pastor and I saw it two different times happen with this man. And when it happened, it scared me to death. Little tiny guy. I mean, I could have took him easy. But when he was doing this that I'm about to describe to you, it scared me. This little guy got mad at my pastor and me. And his eyes went black. And he started yelling and carrying on. And it was like he was foaming at the mouth, just like we read in the scripture. This happened right in front of me. My pastor later on said, we started quoting scriptures on the blood. I said, we should have left. I mean, it was scary. This man was yelling at the top of his lungs louder than a normal person could yell. It was piercing to our ears. It was unbelievable. He was acting like a wild man, possessed of the devil. I saw that man do it two times. I was in his house one time, and he took a hammer, and he started hitting every wall in the house. And again, he started foaming out of his mouth. And man, I got out of there. And I have never seen him since then. This is something that happened in my own personal life, and I've seen other things. Do not be ignorant, my friend. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. The subtlety. Turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter number 11. You need to be clear and weary of some things. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 14. This verse frightens me. It's one of the greatest frightening verses in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians and chapter 11 and verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. It could look good. It could look beautiful. It could look like it's okay. We're talking about music. Well, they sing like this. They sing about this. I'm saying to you, if you have any inkling as a born-again believer in you and you think it's not right, you need to stay away from it and do not allow it to enter your mind. Now, as born-again believers, we cannot be possessed. Because we are possessed by the Spirit of God. But evil can come on your life. Evil can pull your life down and put you in despair and in depression. I believe that one of the reasons in America why we are so depressed, depression is rampant in America, depression is rampant among Christians, it is because it is evil spirits upon people because they are allowing it to be in their lives and they have no idea. Do you know the word when we talk about witchcraft in the Bible? That word is pharmaceo, where we get our terminology pharmacy. It is drug abuse. Witchcraft is going all over the United States of America. Witchcraft is in our county. Witchcraft is overtaking Nelson County by an opioid deficit. It is going on. It is hurting them. I'm telling you what, it is here, it is around us, and it is evil, evil spirit world. Listen to me carefully. He can be turned into an angel of light. That concerns me. There was these boys in Indiana. This is another story that I personally know. There was these boys in Indiana, and they had this little pamphlet about being powerful. It was being handed out at a fair given to teenagers. One of the boys went home and read it. The other two came over his house later, and he began to show them the pamphlet. Again, it described about how you could have power, you could be powerful, you could be an unbelievable person, and so forth and so on. They went down into a basement and they began to ask for power. We want this power. We want this power. All of a sudden, they heard behind them this clawing, scratching on a concrete wall. When they turned around and had the light on, there were claw marks in the concrete wall. Listen to me now. I'm not telling you fairy tales. I know these stories personally by hand. These boys, these three boys, they begin to pray and ask for the power. Ask for the power. They got a message. They were told to have a sacrifice. That they needed to have a sacrifice. They begin going out in the neighborhood and taking cats and dogs and all kind of things and killing them so that they could have power. All three of these boys said they felt more power, a greater power. Then finally, as it went on, one of them said, "We've got to take a person. We've got to take a person." They had taken a .38 bullet from a pistol and were trying to figure out how to put it in a rifle so that it could not be traced if they killed someone. Finally, they had loaded it and forced it into a rifle, and the rifle went off. It went up through the floor, and while their mother was leaning over and putting something in the oven, hit her in the head and killed her. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Fooling around and dabbling in stuff, bringing things into your home. We should not be fooling with this stuff. We should not be touching darkness and evil as believers. It is a real thing, and I want you to understand it. Do you know that many school shootings that happen by teenagers have confessed about ones that still live, confess about reading things like that, confess about reading books that influence them concerning evil? Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you this morning? We've got to stay away from this stuff. And lastly this morning, let me tell you, as we turn to Matthew chapter number 12, we've seen it, we've already talked about it. We see something that is vital, vital to us. If you're not a believer this morning, you need to be born again and let God take the evil out of you and cleanse your life. And those of us that are born again, we need to let the Spirit of God work and cleanse our lives of evil things. Get out on your knees and ask God, "God, what's in my life? God, what's in my home? God, what is around me that I need to get rid of?" I want you to see Matthew 12, 22. Notice what it says here. "Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I be Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." Jesus Christ is glorious. Jesus Christ is good. Jesus Christ is everything that we need. Jesus Christ is everything that we need to call on. Jesus Christ is everything that we need to hear about in our music. Jesus Christ is everything that should flow through ourselves. Jesus Christ is the power over all evil. If there's evil in your home, if there's evil in your workplace, if there's evil about you, know that Jesus Christ is the answer against evil. Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus is illustrating to us. He is illustrating that He is the all-powerful. Hallelujah for that, amen. Hallelujah for that. But we should not fool. We should not dabble. And we should not play in evil things. We need to be listening and following after the things of Jesus Christ. The shepherd side of it is illustrating to us. He is the power. but we shouldn't fool with it. The shepherd side of it is do not ignore. Do not ignore the Scripture. Do not ignore the Spirit of God in your life. And do not ignore separation. Do not ignore separation. You must drive yourself away from evil. Get away from evil. Satan and the devils are real. Do not ignore evil. Do not ignore the Spirit within you, the Holy Ghost, if you're born again. Cast out anything from your life that you may have question of. And I will turn to Hebrews 9:14 real quickly. Hebrews 9:14. Cast out anything from your life that you have question of. Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14. I got that music out of my life. I got those movies out of my life. I got those television shows out of my life. And let me tell you what, I don't miss them. I hadn't missed them one bit. I took all of those, all that money. I'm a music lover. Man, I had built this box. This was back in cassette days. I had built this box and had drawers in it. And I put all my cassette tapes in there alphabetically ordered. And I would bring them out. And my wife was saved. We were dating. She would get in my truck. I had big, gigantic 12-inch pile speakers in my truck. Little single cab truck. And I would blare that music, and she couldn't stand it. She said, this bothers me. I said, bothers you? What are you talking about? But when I got saved, I couldn't listen to it anymore either. I took the whole lot of it, dumped it out in a trash bag, took it down to a basement, and took a hammer to every bit of it, and have not missed it at all. Haven't missed it. My mind is sober because it's gotten out of my life. Unfortunately, when I go into stores, and they are playing music, or if I go to a sporting event, these things will come up in my head and in my mind. And I try my best to block them and fight them. Listen to me. Put good things in you. Hebrews 9:14, and we're going to be closing. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? God can clean you. God can cleanse you. Let me say lastly, as we know this scripture, but I want you to see it. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians 4 and verse number 8. Brother Patrick, he's not here this morning, but I have heard him quote this scripture over and over and over again. If you talk about evil, you talk about darkness, you talk about bad things, listening and taking in these things, this is what he's always quoted to me. Chapter 4, Philippians 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What do we want? We want peace, do we not? We want peace. We want to have tranquility. I'm telling you what, it's a serious thing. The devil is subtle, and we need to see the shepherd side of it. And you need to know that you need to have these things in your life so that Christ can cleanse your consciousness so that you can have peace and no matter what moment it is. Let's stand for prayer this morning. The spirit world of evil. Lord, I come to you, God, humbly with fear in my life. Lord, whatever, Lord, I have that's not right, Lord, cleanse me. God, I want power. I want your anointing, God. I want your anointing on our church, on our families. I want your anointing on our fathers and our wives and mothers, our daughters, Lord. I want your anointing on the children, God. Lord, we need you, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord Jesus. Please help us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord Jesus. Speak to us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, what has God demonstrated to you today? What has the Spirit of God said to you today?